Yesterday afternoon, about 2:30 yesterday, we covered the, or carried, I should say, the live presser from the governor, the mayor, top leaders across the city, the superintendent, police, lots of folks just sort of making their statements after the decision was made in the Breonna Taylor case. Jamal Cole was also there. He's an organizer here. He founded the organization, My Block, My Hood, My City. Been covered a lot in the press here for the work he's doing in the community, the organization he started to help young people obtain justice. And he's leading a protest this weekend. We'll talk about that in a second. I just want to read here one of the things he wrote in his own words, ChicagoBusiness.com. I wore a hoodie for Trayvon, took a knee for Philando, held my breath for Eric, walked for Laquan, and cried for Betty Jones. I'm tired of the slogans. Enough is enough. There's a real problem in our country. It's dangerous being black, and the darker your skin, the realer your problems. Jamal Cole, I know you spoke yesterday, and you were not satisfied. In fact, I don't have words in your mouth, but it seems you were outraged about what had happened in this case. I want to thank you for being on the show this afternoon, and just tell me what's on your mind today. How are you feeling in terms of what you're seeing and what's going on?
Well, thank you for having me. Of course, I feel like, you know, having a police badge, it gives you a platform that amplifies your true character. And, you know, if you're a good person, that badge can help amplify goodness. If you're a bad person, that badge will give you a platform that really will amplify wickedness. And it's the same thing when major events happen throughout the country. Like, some people are going to see this event. Major events challenge our character. So some people use this event as a way to loot and tear down stuff in their own community, and some people will use it as a way to bring people together, to register people to vote, to raise money for black women-led organizations and black girls-serving organizations and things like that. So that's how I'm really feeling. Is of course, I don't think accountability should have taken that long, but, you know, if you really want to if you want change, like, change doesn't happen like Amazon Prime, right? It's not overnight. Like, change is like looking at the police union contract that's up right now, seeing how we could change things in that. So.
Yeah, you know, we just heard from a legal expert, Karen Conti, who said in terms of the laws were followed. Now, do you question the way the laws are equally applied? Do you question the laws as they sit? I know in Kentucky, they no longer have no-knock warrants. You can't get one as a police officer there. We still have them in Illinois. And the reasons are is that if the police determine that someone is armed or that there's an imminent threat, that they can petition a judge, and a judge can go ahead and warrant it. I just wonder which part of this policy, or do you think it was a pure, which part of the policy wasn't followed? Where do you find fault with what happened?
It's not a policy switch. It's a personality switch. No policy is going to stop white cops from shooting unarmed black men. It's not a policy. That's not a policy. We're reaching for the wrong thing. This is ingrained. I mean, this is something institutional racism is real. Oppression is real. It's a structural part of our country in its history, and it was created intentionally. And nowadays, it's so cloaked up in these trumped-up policies and laws that we don't even know how injustice is being sustained in our country. And look at the police contract. Just look at it. There's so many provisions in it that are unacceptable. So no matter what the policies was, an innocent black woman was killed by the police while she was in her bed sound asleep. We know that like human life is important. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She ain't gonna get to live no more. That's the point.
She doesn't get to live anymore, and that is the human tragedy of it all. There's no way around that, and anybody who doesn't acknowledge that is missing the whole point. I agree with that. We just had a legal expert on, though. It said in terms of laws and policy, when you're fired upon as an officer, you can fire back. What should that officer have done?
Well, knocked. I mean, knocked. Treated somebody like they would want to be treated, not shot an unarmed person. I mean, my aunt was named, her name was Betty Jones. She was shot by a cop on accident, right? This happened the day after Christmas about 2 years ago, right? And the family settled for $5 million, right? They got $5 million. Now, you're talking about that's not justice, right? That's not justice. This person was a humanitarian, a patriarch of the family. That's not here no more. Come on, man. So I would just say that we need to really have a conversation with police officers and reach the psyche of them and have psychological evaluations before they actually start taking office, because this is getting out of hand. Y'all wore a hoodie for Trayvon. You just already know. You just repeated it. I took a knee for Philando. I've done all these things, and it's like, come on, man. We need to start respecting people. Treat people the way you want to be treated, and hold these officers accountable. We always talk about hating on people but not snitching. We need to hold these officers accountable, and that needs to happen immediately.
Well, I'll tell you, my work as a journalist before being here, that's something I did try to do. I tried to expose the officers on the force who were tarnishing the badge. And you're right, it seemed there was a reluctance to expose those folks, you know, folks responsible for false confessions, those people came through a system that we cleared death row for because they got there because of an unjust system. We all have to look at that and say there's something terribly, terribly wrong, and the folks within the system knew about it, and I believe they did, in order for us to get to that point. So there's no question that it has to be done. You come at this from a very interesting perspective, because as you just pointed out, you lost a loved one. Don't you also have a family member who was a police officer, too?
No, I don't got no family members of police officers, but I have a lot of police officers that volunteer for my block, within my city. You know, I never wake up in a bad mood, and I love police officers. I love doctors and lawyers. We need to just stop. It's clear. Stop killing black people unarmed, and we'll stop protesting the institutional murder of black people by authority. I mean, that's the position that people are taking right now. So. My heart goes out to the family. I love that they say don't, you know, tear up things in your own neighborhood. Right now, you know, we're hosting a rally on Saturday and, you know, at Daily Plaza downtown at 12 o'clock. It's a Say Our Name rally. We're going to raise money for, black women led organizations. We're going to raise money for black, women serving organizations, or like, we want to do something. Like, instead of complaining about things, what's something that you can do to make a difference? This is something we feel like we can do to make a difference.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're doing. You're inspiring a lot of younger people in your organization. You're meeting downtown noon Saturday. It's a rally for justice and to raise funds for black women-led, black girls serving in organizations. So tell me, what are you looking at there?
I'm just trying to, like, support. I mean, it's hard to run a nonprofit in Chicago and to, like, so we need to really value our nonprofits that are working in these communities. Like, these nonprofits are stopping crime. These nonprofits are being positive role models. These nonprofits are just arousing the enthusiasm of people, and we're not really valuing them a real investment. So I want to, you know, as a founder of my block and my city, we can get out there and rally and walk. We can walk and create a route. But we can also, like, raise funds for these organizations that can't get grants, that there's too much red tape right now. We don't want that, you know, we don't want there to be so much red tape. We just want to support the people that are on the ground doing the work and help them, you know, see if they should be expanding into broader strategies, basically.
What are your 15 words again, Jamal? You told me them before. I think you even said it at the news conference yesterday. Give it to us again.
Oh, well, that's my book coming out next month. But the 15 words are, what's something simple I can do that'll have a positive impact on my block? What's something simple I can do that'll have a positive impact on my block? And if you start with the simple things, that's how you develop the muscle it takes to take on bigger challenges in your life.
What would you recommend someone listening saying, hey, you know what, I don't really know what I can do. What is it I can do? I don't feel all that powerful. I'm super busy. I'm just trying to get through this. Maybe I'm unemployed. I don't have a lot of resources. What do I do?
I would just go from empathy to compassion. That's easy. You just create an asset map of your neighborhood and see who are the grass tops leaders, who are the faith-based organizations, who are the the local elected officials, the state elected officials, and go volunteer with them. And once you get there, you have empathy enough to get there. Once you get there, it'll turn into compassion. So you'll say, oh, I see how I can help. Also, man, if you have $5,000 of disposable income a month, maybe you're a giver and you give to organizations. Maybe if you have $2,500 of disposable income, maybe you make some phone calls and give. If you only have $500 of disposable income, maybe you're a doer or a volunteer. Like, regardless if you're a giver, in between, or a doer, we all can volunteer. We all could be reading articles and sharing articles. And, we all could be influencing, like, get some more black people on the board. Hire black people in HR positions, because discrimination happens in those places. Like, it's a lot. If you're a lawyer, can you do an expungement clinic in the hood? If you work in IT, can you build a website for a nonprofit? Like, what can you do to make a difference? I mean, it's like a decision tree you have to almost create for people.
When you go back to talking about working with police and that kind of thing, are you part of some of the reform efforts here in town? I know you have a major voice, and the mayor has leaned on you for different things. Are you taking an active role in that, Jamal?
You know what? Like I said, having a police badge will give you a platform to amplify your character. And yeah, I'm taking a role in it. Like, you know, everybody has a role to play in fighting against this injustice. Everybody, like, being quiet right now is unacceptable. Of course, I'm not nobody has a battery in my back, right? And so in my block, my hood, my city, we want to take care of people no matter what. There's a space in between grassroots and policy. That's where we function at. When I show up to shovel snow for someone, I don't ask if you're a Democrat or Republican. I don't ask if you're a Cubs fan or a White Sox fan. I don't ask, are you in the police? You know, I just take care of people no matter what. Like, I don't care what color or gender or religion or opinion or ethnicity, occupation. I don't care. I want to help people no matter what. That's what I'm here on this earth for. That's what my block, my city does. So I'm grateful to know the mayor. I'm grateful to know the governor and the superintendent. Those are great people. I admire them. I learn from them. But when it comes to taking care of people, my block, my hood, my city, you think of us as like a new Red Cross. We take direct action on the block level to help people, regardless of what affiliation they have.
Well put. If people want to contact you, Jamal, they want to get involved, they want to do something, learn about what they can do, or else participate in the rally this Saturday, where do you send someone right now?
Right to our website, formyblock.org. Formyblock.org, the RSVP for the rally. Donate. We're going to be supporting black women-led organizations. We got a couple surprises for people at the rally. It's going to be a daily plaza at noon. But show up downtown and let's say her name and let's represent her legacy well. So, and let's start supporting our women of color for real, man.
Yeah.
Got to do that.
Thank you, Jamal. Thanks for the time here, and keep us posted on stuff, okay?
No doubt. Peace.